One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. This is from the introit this morning, and it teaches us that the mighty works of God will be commended to following generations. God will spread his word. Jesus says as much when he states in Matthew 24:14 these words: "This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." If you are interested in evangelism, then you should also be interested in holding on to tradition and liturgy in the church. Liturgy and evangelism are not separate ideas, as some might have you believe. We want generations after us to hear the word of God, and so we should be concerned what we pass on to our children. The Greek word for tradition just means to hand over or to pass down. The liturgy is traditional because it has been handed over. It has been passed down. And the liturgy is excellent at doing what the introit says, and that is commending the works of God and declaring his mighty acts from generation to generation. If the generation after us retains and holds on to the liturgy, then they will be keeping a form of worship that clearly and boldly testifies to God's mighty work of saving sinful humanity, and they will receive the forgiveness of sins that comes from hearing God's word and receiving his sacraments, gifts the liturgy puts front and center in our worship service. The liturgy and all that it gives is a tremendous gift for all of us, but especially our little ones, who are always learning more than we think. I'm amazed at my own children, who at a very young age have learned parts of the worship service by heart. There are things they already have memorized, and they speak them and hear me very clearly. That is no testament to their father, but it is to the fact they're in worship a lot, and they hear things in the worship service. And by hearing, they memorize, and they come to know things by heart that we should all know by heart, such as the Kyrie, the creeds, and the Lord's Prayer. The liturgy engraves God's word on our hearts and on our minds, because we hear it, and we speak it over and over again. Friends in Christ, it is not uncommon to hear stories about people ravaged with Alzheimer's disease who, though they are weakened by sickness, they can still remember and recite the holy things that they learned in their youth, the very things we sing and pray already in worship. But even before Christian worship, Christianity itself had to survive. After Jesus' ascent to the Father, how would his word be spread to all nations? This brings us to the disciples. By the beginning of John 21, Jesus has already appeared 2 times to his disciples. But for whatever reason, they are not out proclaiming the majesty of their Lord's death and resurrection. Peter goes fishing, and other disciples follow. Maybe they were confused or just ignorant about what to do next. Maybe they were afraid, or perhaps they wanted to return to life on the seas, something they knew well. They go fishing and they catch nothing. When they approach the shore, they see someone. Initially, they do not recognize Jesus. He is a stranger. However, at just his word, they let down their nets on the right side of the boat. This is peculiar because professional fishermen aren't in the habit of letting strangers dictate how they are to fish. But this stranger is God, and his word has power. The disciples hear his word. They hear his command, and so they let down their nets, only to find it teeming with fish, so much so they are unable to haul it in. At this miracle, their eyes see the identity of the stranger. It is Jesus. And he sees his children, and he knows they are hungry, and so he feeds them. The disciples, you see, will be fishers of men, and they will cast the net of God's word onto the people. And by that net, by that word, souls will be caught. People will hear and believe about Christ and his mighty work of saving sinners by his sacrifice and resurrection. The gospel of God that we hear in our liturgy is the same gospel proclaimed by the apostles sent out into the world. And by their work, the seeds of salvation will be sown into the hearts of men. People will hear and they will confess, and others will hear that word and they will be brought to faith. God will grow his kingdom. He will grow his kingdom from generation to generation, and he will do it in the proclamation of his holy word, the same word, friends, we hear today. Every baptized believer is part of this kingdom. And as the net doesn't tear when the disciples haul their massive load of fish to the shore, God's kingdom, God's church, will not tear as he brings people into it. God's church endures forever. Not even hell takes it down. And he makes sinners a part of this kingdom when they hear his word and believe it. So, while the world passes away as your bodies age and get weaker with time, God's kingdom does not. It will not weaken and fade. It's everlasting. And through Christ, you are part of his everlasting kingdom, you and all the saints who call God blessed. For any professional fisherman, a catch such as this, such as the one we heard in the gospel, would have been worth a great deal of money. But Jesus poses the question to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" The essence of Jesus' question to Peter is, do you love something more than your God? We would like to take the fish, sell them, and collect the profits while giving lip service to God. But our Lord doesn't want lip service. He wants people who fear, love, and trust in him above all things. Peter isn't supposed to be concerned about catching fish. His job now is to catch men. His job is to feed and shepherd the lambs of God. When Jesus tells Peter to feed and shepherd his sheep, we can read two things out of this imperative. One, sheep need to be fed. And two, the pastor's job is to feed the sheep. In John's gospel, Jesus talks about himself as being food. He calls himself the bread of life. So what Peter is to feed God's people is clear. He is to feed them Christ, who is our bread of life, the Word made flesh. Jesus and all of his teaching must be consumed by God's people in order to be properly fed. Peter is also called to shepherd the people, to protect them, and make sure the wolves in sheep's clothing do not slip into the flock and devour defenseless lambs. My friends in Christ, please hear me on this. There is such a thing as a false teacher. That is a biblical category. They do exist, so beware. Because false doctrine taught by the false teacher can sound very pleasing to the ear. It tastes good. Kind of like that first Krispy Kreme donut you put into your mouth. They taste great. I can eat at least three before I realize the sugar is probably not a good idea. False doctrine might be compared to that glazed donut. It tastes so good at first, and you want more and more, only to find that in time you begin to feel worse. Junk food is never good for the body, however good it tastes. Eat the wrong thing long enough, and it will make you sick or even die. Consuming false doctrine can taste good, when in reality it is the bad diet that kills. Friends, feed upon the pure word of God. Feed upon Christ Jesus, who comes to you in worship just as he says. Gather in his name and you gather in his presence as a sinner, receiving what he promises, love, forgiveness, and redemption that is yours by the blood of Christ. Peter and the rest of the disciples are charged to bring this word, this gospel to sinners, and they will do it even if it means their death. Peter is told that he will wear the clothes of martyrdom. He will die for the very faith he proclaims, and yet Jesus tells him to follow me. Follow Christ. Follow him. This happens by faith. And if having faith means persecution or even martyrdom, so be it. You reside in God's kingdom. You have no need to be afraid. Your Savior has washed you, and he has clothed you in his mercy and love. He gives you the pure milk of his forgiveness that covers your sins of pride, anger, impatience, sins of fear, gossip, sexual immorality, and greed. The mighty work of God, it has been done. And all that he has accomplished, he gives to you in Jesus, who is yours by faith. By faith, you belong to the King, and his kingdom will not be torn asunder. And God will continue to bring his word into the world, as he did through his apostles. You have heard that word today, and you will continue to hear it even when the sermon is over, as the liturgy moves into the Lord's Supper. He feeds you, Christian. Your God feeds you everything you need. And he will do it from generation to generation. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.